You didn't have any trouble getting here this morning with a marathon taking place. Some of you might have had to find a secondary means of getting to church today, but hope that wasn't the case, but glad that you're here. It is cold outside. We're not used to this all the time, but it feels nice and warm in here, so thankful that everyone's here. It's a great day to be together. We're going to be in the book of Acts today is where we're going to start our sermon. We are going to jump around a little bit. Y'all know how I like to do. We're talking today about what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And of course, this is a topic that, you know, you probably focus on this more when you're younger. You know, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of the dark or the boogeyman or whatever? You know, for me, it was, when I got in trouble. That was one of my biggest fears is when I got in trouble. So I was scared all the time, you can imagine. As you get older, those things change, of course. On what you get, what you become afraid of. I've noticed, you know, as a parent having kids, you know, you think about your own children, right? And as they grow up and the things that they're going to encounter, and these things change. But why are we afraid of these things? What are we afraid of? And from the Christian viewpoint, this is, of course, where the sermon is going to come from today. What are we afraid of? Why should we be? So we're going to look at some things this morning. We're going to start in the book of Acts because the apostles are given a reason to be afraid, if you ask me. They're given a reason to be afraid, but they don't stay there. They don't let that fear dictate their actions. And so we're going to look at that. And then we're going to, so if you want to mark Acts chapter 4, and then we're going to scoot over to, or go back to Luke chapter 12. When you read Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about fear quite a bit. And so we're going to look at that and some of the things that he said in there. So we'll start in Acts chapter 4. If you were with us last week, you recall, sorry, I had my, got my notes here. If you recall, Peter and John, they healed a man that was not able to walk, and then, you know, of course, he's able to walk, and the Pharisees were amazed because Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men, and it blew their mind that they were able to perform this miracle, and they didn't know what to do because they could see the man who wasn't able to walk, and now he is able to walk, and they weren't sure what to do with that because they couldn't deny the miracle, and they didn't know what to do with Peter and John. They didn't like them preaching the resurrection in the name of Jesus. They didn't appreciate that. They wanted them to stop, and so that's where we're going to pick up the lesson. So Acts chapter 4, verse 15 says, "So they, being the Pharisees, ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? What are we going to do with these men?" They asked, "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." That's the threat they're going to have. They're going to warn them not to speak any longer to anyone in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John recognize that these guys, they have some power. I mean, they were part of the reason Jesus went to the cross, right? I mean, they have some pull. If they want to get Peter and John in trouble, they can. This is not an empty threat that they can give them. So they called them back in, verse 18. "Then they called them in again and commanded them." They commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. All right, and there may have been some extra warnings with that. "Or else, you know, don't do this any longer." And of course, the Pharisees have some authority. Peter and John would have acknowledged that authority that they would have carried. And they're being told not to do this any longer. Don't speak in the name of Jesus any longer. And I want you to listen to Peter's response in verse 19. "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God.'" Judge for yourselves. Should we obey you? We recognize your command. We recognize your position, your authority, that you want us to stop. But we have been told to speak in the name of Jesus. That authority comes from God. Whose authority should we listen to? "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." They're letting them know, "We're going to keep speaking about this. We can't help but speak about this." And so that's the threat that's given to them. We're going to leave Acts chapter 4, but we're going to come back to it at the end of the sermon. So you'll know whenever I say turn back to Acts chapter 4, you'll know, like, okay, finally he's getting towards the end. So that's the heads up there. All right, so Does Peter and John have a reason to be afraid right now? I think yes, they do. I mean, these guys, they put Jesus on the cross. They could have us thrown in jail, which they did for the night, by the way. All right, they did have them put in jail. They have a reason to be afraid, but they don't seem afraid, do they? Their response looks like they're not afraid at all. I'm sure there has to be some kind of fear, but again, they're not allowing that to dictate how they act or what they say, okay? So this is what I want us to look at. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. He said, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body, but after that can do nothing more to hurt you. Now, that sentence right there, I want to look at it because it's not humorous, but it is a little bit humorous, right? Don't be afraid of those who can kill you, but then after that can do nothing to hurt you. Well, it's kind of like, well, after they kill you, I mean, what more is there to be afraid of, right? They did everything that they could possibly do. And so in that way, it's a little bit funny, right? Don't be afraid of those who can kill you, and then after that not hurt you anymore. Like, well, yeah, of course they can't. But it's not funny because it's real. Because there is something after death, right? Death is not the end of it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't be afraid of those that can kill you, but after that, do no harm. I'll show you the one to fear. Fear the one who has the power to kill you and also to throw you into hell. Yes, that is the one you should fear. I mean, we all know this, right? None of us are going to live forever. We know there's an end. But what's after that? Jesus says there is something after that. And if you're following Jesus, you don't have to be afraid of what's after that. Peter and John heard these words of Jesus. The other apostles, they heard these words. When Jesus said this, can you imagine before the cross, before the resurrection, Jesus tells them this in Luke chapter 12. Don't be afraid of those that can kill you. Well, why wouldn't you be afraid of those? He's like, no, be afraid of what can happen after that. They have no power after that. All they have power over is this flesh and blood. But there is a spirit in which they have no power over. But someone does have power over that. That's the one who you should fear. This made a lot more sense when Jesus rose from the dead, didn't it? It made a lot more sense when they saw Jesus who was killed and put on the cross 3 days later when he was no longer dead. This made more sense. We should get this. When we read about my clicker's not clicking too well. There we go. All right. The criminal on the cross. You know this story. There's two criminals, one on each side of Jesus on the cross. And the Pharisees are saying things to them. And one of the criminals, it says in verse 39, one of the criminals on the cross began to shout insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Christ? Aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the one that's supposed to save us? Then save yourself and save us. You're the Messiah. This is how they're treating you. You don't have the power to come down off that cross. Save yourself and save us with you. But the other criminal, he was smarter than that. Maybe he was around at some point in time and heard Jesus. He's sitting there, or crucified there. He is up on this cross. What is the next step for this criminal? He has nothing left to do but to die. He has got to that point to where the worst possible thing that men can do to you, they have done to him. And yes, he deserves it, and he admits that. He knows that he deserves what he's received. But he has reached the end. He is hanging there waiting on death to take him. What's he got to be afraid of? The other criminal, he doesn't realize that there's something after this. Or if he does realize it, he's not afraid of it. This criminal is. He realizes that, you know what, this is pretty bad, but there's something that's actually worse. And this criminal has enough sense to talk to Jesus. He tells the other criminal, he stops him and says, you should fear God. We're getting, these men who've put us on this cross, this is the worst they can do to us. I'm no longer afraid of them. I'm sure this criminal was afraid before. He probably hid. He ran. He was scared when they're in his trial. He's no longer afraid anymore. He's hanging there. They did the worst they could do to him. But he still has a fear, and it's not of men, it's of God. Because he knows there's a judgment after this. You should fear God. You're getting the same punishment he is, and we are justly punished. We deserve this. we are punished justly, getting what we deserve for what we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And of course, you know, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal understood that there is something more to be afraid of. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 says, there's nothing but fear in waiting for the judgment and the terrible fire that will destroy all those who live against God. We all kind of, I mean, let's admit it, right? We are all afraid of death. I mean, no one is looking forward to it, I don't believe. We're all afraid of it in some way, right? We fight against it. We want to live healthy lives. We want to avoid it. And that's smart. That's wise, you know. We don't go running off to our graves on purpose. But it's coming regardless. It's coming. We know this. We don't have to be afraid of it. Jesus tells us not to be afraid of it. But you know what we should be afraid of? This verse right here. Not afraid of this verse, but this verse tells us what we should be afraid of. There's nothing but fire that will destroy all those who live against God. Those who are against God have something much greater to be afraid of than just death. It's what comes after death. You and I, brothers and sisters, we don't have to live this way in fear of what's after death. We don't have to live in fear of fire and of destruction. We don't. This is what I really, 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 really want you to get this morning. Do not. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you believe, if you confess Him as Lord, if you've been baptized, if you are in Jesus Christ, you do not have to be afraid of what is waiting after death. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In Christ, we can come before God with freedom and without fear. We can do this through faith in Christ. If you do not have faith in Christ, you cannot go before God without fear. You need to be very afraid. But in Christ, we can. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. So brothers and sisters, we are completely free to enter the most holy place without fear because of the blood of Jesus' death. We can enter through a new and living way that Jesus opened for us. It leads through the curtain, Christ's body. Because of Jesus' death, because of His blood, because of His sacrifice, we can go before God without fear. The God who's able to destroy, the God who's so super strong, the God who can do whatever He wants, you don't have to fear Him because you're in Jesus Christ. And one more verse just to drive this home. 1 John 2:28. Yes, my dear children, live in Him. So that when Christ comes back, we can be without fear and not be ashamed in His presence. When Jesus comes back, imagine when the trumpet blasts and the sky rips open and Jesus is coming back, you don't have to be afraid. That can be a welcomed sight rather than something that just sheer dread falls over you and you're looking for a rock to climb under. Right? It can be a welcome sight if you are in Jesus Christ. So really, I should end the sermon here, but I'm not because I want to do more, not more preaching like myself, but Luke's got some more to say here. So just know that. John and Peter, they understood this. They got this. Okay, Pharisees, I mean, what are you going to do? Because I know what's after. I know what's waiting. I know there's a resurrection. Jesus Christ died so that we can have life. God raised Him from the dead. He will raise us from the dead. And that's why we don't see that fear in them. Let's continue. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Jesus says this, because there's another thing sometimes I think. So let's break down. That was fear number one. There's thousands of fears out there, right? But as Christians, I wanted to look at a few. That was number one. I should have said that. After death, right? Fear of what's beyond the grave. We don't have to fear that if we're in Jesus Christ. Number two, while we are alive, Peter and John, they were saying something that no one else was really saying. In Jesus Christ, there is resurrection. This man died on the cross for your sins. You can find salvation through His blood. Right? They were preaching something that no one else was preaching. They were in an extreme minority. And they were going up against people who had power, who had authority, who had spears, who had the death penalty. And they didn't want them to say this, but they said it anyway. Jesus told His apostles in Luke, verse 8 and 9, chapter 12, I tell you, all those who stand before others and say they believe in me, I, the Son of Man, will say before the angels of God that they belong to me. You stand in front of others and you tell them that you believe in Jesus Christ. You have the courage, You have the audacity to stand in front of others and tell them, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. Yeah, you know what? I know it sounds crazy. I get that. I get that it sounds crazy. I know we're not looking around and seeing men rise from the dead. I understand that, but I believe in it. Maybe I have a good reason why. Maybe I can't explain why, but I believe in it. And you may think I'm a weirdo. You may think I'm crazy. You may think I'm, you know, living in the middle ages or something, but that's what I believe. And I'm willing to say that in front of you. And Jesus says, if you're willing to do that, well, when it comes time, I'm going to stand in front of God's angels and I'm going to say, you belong to me. But there's another side of that coin. But all who stand before others and say they do not believe in me, I will say before the angels of God that they do not belong to me. We don't have to be afraid to tell others what we believe. We may be in the minority, but we don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus, the one who controls what happens after we die, says, I will claim you as my own. You claim me, I'll claim you. That's the way it works. But if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Now, I'll admit, this doesn't always come easy. You may find yourself in a position where all those around you don't believe and look down on those that believe. And you may be kind of afraid to speak about Jesus. I get that. I understand. But we're not going to allow the fear to dictate us. The Apostle Paul, he came to believe in Jesus Christ. And he went to places where people looked down on him. He went to cities that, you know, Roman powerhouses, and they didn't need Jesus. Who is that? What do we care about some Jewish Messiah? What's that have to do with us? But Paul went in these areas. He met with people that were intelligent, philosophers, right, educated folks, and he spoke the gospel. And guess what? I think sometimes he had a little bit of trouble. Because the reason I say that is because he asked for prayers. We should be praying for the ability to speak the gospel in front of others. This is Paul. He writes to the church in Ephesus. Pray for me that when I speak, God will give me words so that I can tell the secret of the good news without fear. This is the Apostle Paul asking the church to pray for him so he can speak the gospel without fear. If Paul needed to pray for it, I think I need to pray for it. We need to pray for this. He says, I've been sent to preach this good news, and I'm doing that now here in prison. Pray that when I preach the good news, I will speak without fear as I should. As I should. Peter and John, back in Acts chapter 4, we're not turning there yet, so we're not to the end yet, all right? So don't get happy. But in Acts chapter 4, this must have been a prayer on theirs, and in fact, it will be. We'll get to it. But to speak without fear in the face of opposition. Paul was praying for this. So we don't need to be afraid of death. We don't need to be afraid of what comes after death. We do without Jesus, but with Jesus we don't. We shouldn't be afraid to speak what we believe. And maybe we need some help with that. That's okay. Pray for it. Pray for that courage. Because we need to be proclaiming Jesus so that he will claim us. And the third thing, Jesus, still in Luke chapter 12, talks about another fear. And this is one we can really relate to. Not that we can't relate with the others. We can, for sure. But this one, I think, is a day-to-day type of thing. Don't fear, he says. Don't fear, little flock, because your Father wants to give you the kingdom. Now, okay, why would I be afraid? He wants to give me the kingdom. Well, let's backtrack. We're not going to read it. But in Luke chapter 12, someone comes to him, and he says, Jesus, my father died. Well, my brother got all the inheritance. Tell my brother to share some of that inheritance with me. And Jesus goes on to talk about that, and he says, you know, you don't need to be worried about material possessions. And then he goes, and much like he speaks in the Beatitudes in Luke chapter 12, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, don't worry about what you're going to drink, don't worry about the clothes you're going to wear. He says, the pagans run after these things. He says, God's going to take care of you. He takes care of the grass in the field, the birds in the air, and you're worth way more than that. God will take care of you. He'll give you whatever you need. And then he says this in Luke 12, verse 32 through 34. Don't fear, little flock, because your Father wants to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Get for yourself purses that will not wear out, the treasures in heaven that never runs out, where thieves can't steal and moths can't destroy. Your heart will be where your treasure is. We fear a lot about what we have. Or maybe about what we don't have, or we don't have enough. And we worry about material possessions. And we're afraid to lose those material possessions often. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. For whatever you think you got here, my Father's going to give you the kingdom. far beyond whatever you can acquire here. Don't be caught up and worried. Because, you know, for these John and Peter and these apostles and other Christians who come after, being a Christian very well could have meant, and it did for them, especially in Jerusalem, that you were about to lose some money. No one was going to do business with you because you believed in this guy, Jesus. And the authorities are telling me not to do business with you. And so money is very much a part of it. What we own, what we have, you know, our businesses and things like that could be affected by it. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Okay, that's small beans, man. My Father has the kingdom and he wants to give it to you. All right, this is the gist of it, right? What do we have to be afraid of? What are we afraid of? God, the most powerful being in all the universe, loves us, cares for us, wants good things for us. Does that mean bad things are never going to happen? No, of course not. I mean, when Jesus says, don't be afraid of those that kill the body, he doesn't say, because they're not going to kill you. They very well could. And of course, that happens. Happened to a lot of Christians, still happens to a lot of Christians today. But he says, don't fear that. Because I got you after that, right? God loves us. We shouldn't be afraid of those things. We should not live in fear of death, of how other people view us, of what it might do to our finances or our income, or maybe a better way to look at that is just our survival, right? The things that we need. Now I want to go back to Acts chapter 4. Because I'll admit, church, I mean, these things that I sit here and I'm preaching them, right? And you might be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get to a spot, you know, where like, oh man, I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about my life. I'm worried about, you know, the future of my kids. What's this world going to look like? And how are they going to believe? Are they going to be able to stand up for the cause of Christ? You know, we might worry about these things. Well, we need to do like Paul. We need to pray for courage. Let's go back now to Acts chapter 4. So they're told, Peter and John are told by the Pharisees, don't talk about this man anymore. We don't want to hear it. Don't speak about him. If you do, we've already thrown you in jail. We can throw you in jail longer. We can get you executed. Stop speaking about this man, Jesus. Or we're going to make life very hard on you. They say, we can't help it. We can't help but speak about Jesus. Verse 21, chapter 4 of the book of Acts. After further threats, they let them go. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. All right. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, the other Christians, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they go back, and you know, there's a small number of Christians. Well, I say it's small. It's a couple thousand, right? But they go back and they say, hey, look, they're like, where were y'all last night? Well, y'all are in jail. How was it? It's like, it's okay. We're fine. We're fine. What'd they say? Well, they said we need to quit talking about Jesus. Oh, no, no, we can't. We're not going to quit talking about Jesus. He died for us. We're not going to quit talking about, you know, they said we might throw us in jail. Throw us in jail, huh? Yeah, well, we'll still, I can go to jail. I can spend a night in jail. No, not for a night. They'll have us in there for months. Months. Well, who's going to run my shop? Who's going to take care of my family? Well, you know, someone will find out. I can say, well, you know, they might kill us. They might whip us. Oh, whoa, hold on now, hold on. You know, is this their response? Because you imagine, this is very real. You're going to keep living for Jesus? There's a threat to your life if you're going to keep doing it. That's what John and Peter are telling. They were threatening us. They went back and reported this. This is the report. Fortunately, our brothers and sisters, our ancestors in this faith, were not a bunch of cowards. They trusted God. Let's look at their response. Verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Man, they know who to go to, don't they? They know who to go to. They didn't sit there and grumble. They didn't sit there and complain. They didn't sit there and worry and try to think of an alternative. They went straight to God. They went straight to God. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Here's their prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said. Sovereign means what? He rules over all. It's not the Pharisees' world. It's not Satan's world. It's God's. And he's sovereign and he rules over all. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And they're going to quote from Scripture. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Right? That's what David was saying, right? The nations are coming against him who was king at that time, but that's a prophecy for Jesus, the nations coming against Jesus. And then they say this is exactly what happened in verse 27. They say, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They came together, the Pharisees, they came together with the Romans, and they crucified Jesus, is what they're saying. Now, here's their prayer. Here's what they're going to God for. Here's what they're asking. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Consider their threats, prison, physical punishment, maybe even death. Consider those. And they don't pray, God, keep us safe. They don't pray, God, remove these people from power. They don't pray, God, remove the threat. That's not their prayer. Their prayer, considering the threats, is to speak God's word with boldness. That's their prayer, that they won't cower to the fear. They won't be ashamed to proclaim Jesus in front of others, that they'll be bold enough to do it even with the threats. That's the spirit we have to capture, church. We don't want to, we shouldn't be concerned about changing I want to try to make sure I say things the right way. You know, they record these and stuff's like it's out there, and I got to make sure I say things right because, you know, I get an email. The most important thing we can focus on is speaking the words of Jesus Christ, is proclaiming the gospel. That is the most important thing that we should be focused on all the time. No matter the threats that are there, is being bold. Let's pray for boldness. Let's pray for boldness in all areas of our life, and especially within our faith and our Christian walk. When Jesus came to this earth, oh man, you're sitting, you're Jesus, and you're 30 years old, and you get baptized, and you go to the wilderness, and you're fasting for 40 days, and you come out, and you're on fire. You know, the Holy Spirit filled you and all that, and you're looking ahead, you're looking down your road, and at the end of your road, there's a cross that is waiting for you. That's what you're walking to every day of your life. And there's going to be some hard things along the way. There's going to be laughter. There's going to be some good times. But at the end, waiting for you is a cross. And he keeps walking down that road, doesn't he? For our benefit, he doesn't start going another way. He doesn't start looking for a way out. He walks headstrong, face forward to the cross. Peter and John do that. They're not cowering away. Paul does that, and all those before, and all the Christians within our faith, right? All the believers who've gone before throughout time in the face of fear and threats proclaim Jesus Christ boldly, and many of them lost their lives because of it, lost their businesses because of it, were kept in jail for years because of it, and it still happens today. We're extremely blessed to live in a time and a place to where if I go out on the street corner and proclaim Jesus Christ, I'm going to be okay. Nothing's going to happen to me. And yet, oftentimes, I'm afraid to even bring up Jesus or that I went to church or that I pray or anything like that in front of others because I don't want to be looked at funny. Looked at funny. And Peter and John say, throw me in jail. I can't help but speak about Jesus. Pray for boldness. Paul did it. The apostles did it. And I want you to read what's going to happen and we'll end it. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Who are you going to be afraid of? Someone that can threaten you? Someone that can make your life miserable? Someone that can make fun of you? Someone that can throw you in jail? Someone can have you killed? Or the one that can shake the very foundations of which on the place in which you stand? Right? The one we should fear is God. But not when we're in Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear God. We have to fear him when we're ashamed of him. That's what we should be afraid of. Church, this is our time. Peter and John, we'll see him again one day, but it's not their time. It's not Paul's time. It's not the church that was up against the Roman persecution. It's not their time. Their time happened, and we're here because of their time. It's our time now, church. It's our time. We don't know how much more time we have, but we've been given a task to speak the words of Jesus Christ boldly. Pray for courage. Pray for zeal. Pray for boldness. And speak his name. wherever you may go, whoever you may find yourself around, right? He is our life. He gives us life. Let's talk about him. Let's bring him up. Let me pray. Stanley will come up and lead our song of invitation. Bow your heads with me, please. Holy Father in heaven, we come before your throne. Father, you are awesome. You are an amazing God. You love us. You've given your son for us, Father. You've provided us everything that we need, Father. We don't have any desires, any wants, because you give us all that we need and then some, Father. And we know that what you have in store for us is even greater than we have now and even more than we can imagine. Father, we come before you this morning. There's a lot of things on our hearts. There's a lot of things on our minds, Father. There's a lot of things going on in this world. But what we pray for this morning, Father, is courage. We pray to speak your word boldly. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us. Father, then the places in which we find ourselves this week, in our jobs and in our schools and our homes and whatever groups we may belong to, Father, that the name of your Son, Jesus, will be on our lips. That the remembrance of his death and resurrection will be on our minds and on our hearts, Father, and we'll have the courage to speak about Jesus and what he has done for us, Father. Father, without him, we know there is no hope. Without him, we know there is fear, there is dread, and there is destruction waiting, Father. But because of him, we do not fear those things. Father, we're so thankful that you love us. We're so thankful for Jesus' heart to do your will, Father, and to give his life for us, Father. We're thankful for his resurrection and the hope that it provides. And we pray in his name. Amen.